Why do we sound so good? Because we're at Dead Aunt Thelma's studio and Mike Moore is engineering for us. Thanks, Dead Aunt Thelma's. Thanks, Mike. Hi, everyone. I'm Susanna Mars, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am sitting here with Eric Light, who is the artistic director of Corleone, which is Vancouver's premier multi-award-winning men's choir, which was founded in 1992. I am so happy you are here, because prior to someone suggesting that I interview you, I had never heard of Corleone.
Well, it's great to be here, and I'm glad we can talk about this amazing group of dudes that sing. Yeah,
it's an all-male a cappella choir.
Yep.
And how was it formed, and who began it?
So in 1992, a woman by the name of Diane Loomer had already started a few choirs in the Vancouver area. And she had a women's choir, she had a mixed choir. But men's choirs are kind of this rare thing. You know, I think when you think about culturally getting men to sing, that can be sometimes a bit of a hard sell. But she was really inspired by a group out of Sweden called Orfadrenger. And so she really wanted to have her own group. So she begged, borrowed, and stole men from all over the Lower Mainland area.
I
hear just crazy stories about that from, especially from some of the founding members, and put this together. And it has become, over the last 25 years, one of the most active amateur choirs in all of North America. We do about 26 concerts a year. Mm-hmm. Singing to more than 12,000 people over the course, so it's a lot of together time for all of us. But it's been so gratifying seeing her dream and her vision for what this could mean for creating a group of men that sing, to see that really taking off and being fulfilled.
And you rehearse in Vancouver as well?
We do.
Wow, that's incredible. How do you find your material? What inspires you to your material? I know you have a concert coming up on November 11th at St. Andrew Wesley Church in downtown Vancouver, mm-hmm. and that is for Remembrance Day,
right.
Which is what is known in our country as Veterans Day.
Yes.
But how do you come up with material? Obviously, well, that's driven in a certain...
Totally. So that's been a 25-year... tradition for the choir that they've done a Remembrance Day concert. We typically do a holiday themed concert, because everybody does a holiday, you know, it's singing, right? That's what you do. We've also created a festival, an international festival for male choral singing, called the Van Man Male Choral Summit, that we do in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then we usually have some sort of other program in the spring, maybe a little bit more hardcore classical music, and then a more of a pops show as well. Mm-hmm. So between all of those, that kind of gives me the outline of the season as far as where the repertoire is going, and trying to hit different spots, different notes as far as the capabilities of what a group like this can do. We're primarily a classical singing ensemble, but it goes so much further than that. Mm-hmm. But again, those sorts of themes and that kind of structure of the season really are telling me how I'm picking the music and what it is that we're really after artistically for each one of these shows.
I see that your members run the gamut, from doctors to lawyers to construction work. I mean, there's
exactly.
It's like the Village People.
Minus the costumes. Yes. Well, sometimes the costumes. But it really is. I mean, one of the things that is interesting about the choral arts is that most choirs that you have ever heard in your life, those are amateur singers. Mm-hmm. Professional choirs are few and far between. That was the background of my life was running a full-time male vocal ensemble. And that was, we were one of only two in the United States, which is, that's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. When you think about orchestras, you think about professional orchestras, but almost every choir you've ever heard, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, those are amateur choirs. So when you're pulling people out of the community and out of their quote unquote regular lives, and then creating this singing community, you can truly make some great art. But along with that, you get all of their experiences. You get all of their backgrounds. We range in age. I believe we go from, I think it's our youngest guy right now is 19 and our oldest guy is 82.
Wow.
I don't know of too many things you can do in life that you're on equal footing where a 19-year-old and an 82-year-old can come together and be in community with one another and also
with the same share goals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same and really achieve at the same level. I mean, maybe bowling, I don't know. But even your
someone's
golf game's
gonna
deteriorate after a while, right?
Bowling balls do get heavy.
Yes, I'm a horrible bowler. but it really speaks to the diversity. And since the get-go for our ensemble, this was started, Corleone was started in the 90s, and a lot of times, if you had a men's choir, maybe it was a gay choir, mm-hmm. or it was a religious choir, and this was really founded on this kind of pluralistic society that all sorts of people, rich, poor, young, old, gay, straight, whatever, were all welcome to join as long as they wanted to share in that vision of community and of making music together. And so we have this incredibly diverse community of men. And my goodness, especially look around, I mean, just even this week with the Me Too campaign and all the rest of this, mm-hmm. We as a group of men are talking about these sorts of things. And arts and singing really break down so many of the barriers that I think men put up, the walls that men put up around one another. But when those get taken away, it's quite extraordinary. It's quite extraordinary. And so... people ask me, well, why do you have a men's choir? Why won't you let women in? And I was like, well, you know, it's a certain sound. It's an artistic thing. It's a sonic thing that you have the changed male voices. But in some ways, it is also quite remarkable to have a group of men that are able to own their masculinity, but in a non-toxic kind of way. Mm-hmm. And to share with one another and try to make each other be better men through the singing. It's not really one of our stated goals, but I certainly see this as a concomitant of how, when we sing together, one of the things that comes out of all of that.
Well, I know when I'm making music, often in group settings, you know, it paves the way for conversation. Somehow, the sharing of the space and the vibration of sound being created together, it really breaks down barriers.
Totally. And we predominantly, I mean, we sing with orchestras sometimes and whatever and instruments, but predominantly we're doing a cappella music.
Right.
What a exposed and vulnerable and naked art form that is. It's like, to me, it's a cappella singing and dance are the two art forms where we just use our bodies. There's no other elements in all of that. And I find both of those art forms to be so so intimate.
They are. And I wonder, and as the director of the group, when you're making music, and I'm assuming you have auditions and these mm-hmm. people are musicians of a certain caliber.
Yeah.
And when you engage in a conversation about sound and about sharp or flat, and it really forces you to be defenseless.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that
really
comes,
incredible.
Yes. Yeah, that comes between there's certainly that relationship between conductor and singer mm-hmm. that has to be built on trust. And, you know, for me, it's cajoling, sometimes pulling my hair out. You know, it's you use every trick in the book, humor. We laugh a lot. but it also, there is those moments when your ears are that open as a musician that you could be standing anywhere. There's a choir of 60 guys, so it's a relatively large group. Mm-hmm. But when the ears are open and when it's going well, that connection, I think it's coming from your ears, but it may be coming through the ether or, you know, the soul or something else. You do feel this interconnection in ways that it's pretty indescribable. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel it too many other places except for when I'm in those kinds of moments. Of course, it's great to make a big male choir sound with an orchestra or whatever else, but it's in those smaller moments, in those more intimate moments that I think we find ourselves, we find each other, and we make something really extraordinary. I also think that because people expect men to be strong and, you know, it's all the BS of what masculinity is supposed to be, when you flip that on its head and you sing with vulnerability, if you're singing that true pianissimo, you are getting, you're undermining the audience's expectations as well. And I think people find that very emotionally disarming. Mm. The Remembrance Day concerts are certainly one of those times that we dig very, very deeply into the ideas of war and peace and, you know, is it patriotism? These sorts of things that can be very, very touchy, still are. We don't necessarily look at them in a historical way, but because we're singing the way that we are, I think that we're trying to spread the strands of empathy outward, mm-hmm. and understanding the way that art can, the way that music can, the way especially vocal music can, because we have a text. Mm-hmm. So I think all of those things come together, and it's one of the things, I think, knock on wood, that's made us a very popular choir in North America, is that we're able to disarm the audience, but then also charm them, soothe them, challenge them, all of those sorts of things.
Hmm. So it's your 25th anniversary season.
Yeah.
And what are your hopes for the choir?
We have a heck of a year in front of us. Mm-hmm. So we have kind of all of those concerts that I spoke about, but we're culminating the year in our first ever trip to Asia. Mm. We're going to go to Singapore and Bali. We're going to represent Canada at the Singapore International Choral Festival, as well as the Bali International Choral Festival. So we'll be going for 16 days to Asia.
And are these competition type events?
They are. They're a little bit of both. So mm-hmm. there's festival things that we singing with other people and sharing in those sorts of ways, other concerts. And then there is a competition that's a part of that as well. And I'm not the hugest fan of competition in the arts, but it seems to me it's the way that it's the venue upon which that people are able to attract all these incredible choirs. We went to Bali this last summer on the prelim trip. Oh, it was so difficult. You know, oh my gosh. People was like, are you going there for pleasure or work? I said, work. So it was really, really terrific to go. But the quality of the choirs and seeing people singing from a very different cultural perspective than what we're used to here. Mm. It's going to be eye-opening for us. And I think it's going to really infuse our music making and our perspective on why we do music. And some of the connections, the friendships that we'll make along the way. I've already got friends from now in Asia, now that I've gone to that once. So
what's it like to travel with 60 guys?
Well, I did it once before. The very first thing I did was,
I mean, Corleone. It sounds great to me.
Yeah, on paper. you know, we went, my very first thing that I did is we did about 2-week trip to Italy, Bosnia and Croatia. Mm. Went to start in Sarajevo, which was amazing to be. And I was just hired as the artistic director designate. And so I went as the backup conductor and basically just sang in the bass section. It was great. I got to kind of be one of the guys before I got to, you know, boss them around
you
later.
Infiltrated
exactly.
The system.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they knew I was coming, so it wasn't that sneaky. But they the friendships, the jokes, the banter, and again the camaraderie and just the chance to, again, as an amateur choir, put away your daily work. On a, you know, my guys, they work all day on a Wednesday night and then they come for a 3-hour rehearsal.
Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to make that transition, I think, for the guys. But to be able to put kind of their quote unquote regular lives away for that amount of time and just focus on one another, just focus on the music, the growth that the choir can have both as a community and as an ensemble is pretty amazing.
Well, I'd say that the choir must have a great impact on the health of the community, and especially, obviously, of those men, but yeah. To have a place to be, as you spoke of earlier, to exchange ideas, to become vulnerable with each other, and to leave work behind.
Yeah. You want it to be, you know, it's you talked about bowling, you know, it's like a lot of these guys could, they could join a bowling league every Wednesday and go do that and mm-hmm. have some of the camaraderie and all of it. But I don't think that they would be challenged. Mm-hmm. You know, we work hard. It's hard work on a Wednesday night. They get done. We're done at 10 o'clock at night after a full day's worth of work. I'm sure they're exhausted. Mm-hmm. But what you hope is that you're offering deeper levels that the music allows, that that they get to dig into what the music is about. But then again, I think those open up the strands of community to one another that they wouldn't have if they didn't have that crucible of music making.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about your life being an artistic director of a choir versus a personal music career where you are not a choir director, for instance, singing on your own?
I wouldn't know anything but what I do. This mm-hmm. has kind of been what I've been doing for since I was 20 years old. I was singing and the artistic director of a professional ensemble for a while, but this idea of planning and having a vision for what a concert can be, what that could do for an audience, how that shapes the ensemble, how that has greater impact for the community, how it transforms the art form, all of those sorts of things. That's what is so exciting to me. So, yeah, I've never thought about it from any other way. Mm-hmm. Just to even go up there and just wave my arms, you know, at a group, that's great. Mm-hmm. And making the music is great. But the digging into what it is to be a part of an organization and to build that all up is so gratifying. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to dream about all these things. We do a lot of educational outreach as mm-hmm. well. As you're talking about, for what we have the impact in the community. We have a 10-week educational program that we bring in 150 young men aged 12 to 20, and they work for absolutely free. They get to work with conductors, they get to work with me, and they culminate in this big concert. Mm-hmm. That, again, seeing those kinds of impacts and the ways that you can be a part of a community and shape things, so gratifying, so gratifying.
Can people find out about that program on the website?
Absolutely,
which
yeah,
is corleone.org, which mm-hmm. is CHORLEONI, which means a lot of lions, right?
A choir of lions. Yes, it sort of messes up Greek and Latin together. I didn't name it, but there you go. We also have the lions are the mountains on the North Shore Range in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of has an homage to Vancouver.
So what's been most satisfying when you've been with Corleone so far in terms of programming and you're mm-hmm. touching the community? I imagine you have an awful lot of satisfying moments. Maybe not your favorite. I hate that word. Maybe more like something that really just stood out.
The creation, I had a vision of creating a men's choral festival because I knew what Corleone was doing was really amazing, but we needed to do better as far as reaching out to the young men and let them know, if you like to sing, you're not alone, and there is community there. So we bring together different men's choirs from throughout the Lower Mainland, and we have 475 guys all singing together. That's watching the growth of the spark of energy, watching how when we share between all the different choirs on that weekend festival, when we share with one another, it's now been 3-4 years we've done this. The groups are all getting better because we're sharing with one another. We're spurring each other on. We're supporting one another. And that's of all the myriad of things, it's the thing I think I'm the most proud of.
That's great, because sharing repertoire, sharing technique, you know, hearing someone sing and having inspiration, it's just an incredible infusion of excitement.
It is. But much more than that, it is to send the message to especially any young man that this is just a normal, healthy part of your life. And I just believe that most of the problems that are going on in the world, men are causing. But if we're going to fix them, men need to start to be the solution. And the only way I see out of that is if we are starting to actually get in touch with our feelings and deal with them in healthy and productive and open ways instead of the destructive ones. Mm-hmm. So if we can do anything to change that community and change that perception and create some outlets for men to have that, I do think in the small little way that I only that I can do, I do think it does help in a small way to make the world a little bit of a better place.
Mm, I don't think that maybe not as small as you might think.
Well, you only do what you can do, right?
Yeah. So who were your role models growing up? Because I don't think I could think of a choir conducting role model, but I'm sure since this is your beloved work, you undoubtedly have.
Well, I think we all look back on when we're young, we have some teacher, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody that like literally taught us when we were small. Mm-hmm. I was part of a boy choir. I grew up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I was part of the Appleton Boy Choir. And at its height, I think there were 250 boys singing in a community of 70,000 people. Mm. That's a huge, huge swath. So that means all the dudes that were on the basketball team, all the football team, wrestling team, they all sang anyway. So it was just like, it was just totally not a thing. It's just something that you did. And so my, Jim Hikes, one of my conductors there was a huge inspiration to me. Then I went to St. Olaf College, Anton Armstrong, who's had deep ties here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. He's done the youth choir at the Bach Festival. Comes up here, quite a bit, was my mentor, when I was doing my undergraduate career. There were professional groups, Chanticleer out of San Francisco was one. And that's what made me start my own when I was in college. And then we got signed to management right away in New York when I was 20 years old or whatever it was. And off we went. And so, you know, it's just different people start. And then composers that you meet and you work with and you commission pieces and you have those sorts of mountaintop creative experiences with them. So all the way along the way. But the people that are doing it right now, it's my singers. You know.
So has Corleone made some commissions also? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. In fact, we released just last year a new album. And the centerpiece of that was a set of three pieces commissioned by a young composer from Latvia, Eriks Eschenvalds. The Portland State Chamber Choir just released an album that I produced of there, and we actually went to number one on the Billboard charts, but we worked with the same composer. But we also then contacted Leonard Cohen and asked if we could use his poetry. And this was before he passed away, and he said yes. So we premiered three works of this incredible Latvian composer's music, but with the text of Leonard Cohen. Mm. And it was just, and as Canadians, sort of mind-bendingly awesome as to how the worlds were coming together. The pieces turned out terrific. So we've got a few more commissions in the works too. So it's never ending.
So Remembrance Day, that concert's going to be on November 11th at St. Andrew Wesley Church, which is in downtown Vancouver.
Right on Broad
Street. And I'm assuming people can get tickets at corleone.org.
Yep. Just go to our website. Yep. And it'll go through Tickets Tonight, but you can, the easiest way to find is just go to corleone.org.
Well, it just sounds incredible, the work you're doing, and I cannot wait to hear the choir. I feel so out of it that I had never heard of it, nor have I seen a concert.
We came back down. We came down to Portland last May, and we had such a good time, mainly drinking IPAs. That we'll be back down, I'm sure, again.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for coming and talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And definitely try to see the Remembrance Day concert, which will be on November 11th, and take a look at the website corleone.org. Thanks again.
Thank you.